you would, this evening. I told you this morning that I'd be sharing a little bit with you about our ministry, and I'll be brief as I possibly can on that. We have, like I said, Sarah and I, when we first went there, we had stepped into the ministry that our team has started with the First Baptist Church of Pedro Badejo, which your pastor and his wife had the opportunity of seeing that work, and that is where the actual Bible College as well is located. The church actually uses the seminary building and dormitory there for the time being. Lord willing, one day in the future when God tells them to, they will build a building or move out and do what Lord has them to do. But for the time being, they're using those facilities there. That is where we spent the first almost four and a half years of our ministry, working with that church and helping its leadership and training some things there. And then after that, that was our sort of our first term. That's where Mason was born, and we were expecting Micah when we went back to the States. So those some of those things were several years ago for us. And then when we returned back from our first furlough there, we started a church in the about an hour north of there in the city of Asomada. I would compare Asomada to more of a modern-day Corinth. It's a very wicked city in that sense because of the Cape Verde has a very large immigration population. We have in the islands of Cape Verde a little over 600,000 people that live on those nine islands, but there are right now, according to their records, a little over a million people, Cape Verdeans, that are dispersed abroad in other countries. And primarily from the city of Asomada, they live in northern and in western Europe. So, of course, as we know, Europe and in northern Europe is pretty much atheistic and godless in that sense in a lot of ways. And they come back with an influence of modern culture there and a lack of God in every way. And that city is called the Immigrant City. Most people that live there have traveled abroad, and I would say 8 to 9 out of 10 people in that city have at one time or another lived somewhere else. And so planting a church there has been and will continue to be, I believe, very challenging. We had worked there for right at 3.5, almost 4 years, and planting a church there. The church grew very much, but when we went on furlough, the devil got in the middle of it, I believe, and really brought some things to pass. But at the same time, those that are still there in that church are enduring a trial of affliction, I believe, for their faith and their belief. I was sharing with your pastor, we are right now as independent Baptists, I think there's 4 to maybe 5 families that are working there in the islands of Cape Verde. But there are 200 Mormon missionaries right now in the islands of Cape Verde. And they filter out about 35 to 40 of those every 6 months, moving on to other countries and other things right now. The missionary force right now for the Mormon church is close to 30,000 missionaries, is what they say, in almost every country of the world. So they have an enormous work ethic about them and their work, and it puts us to shame in a lot of ways. And so we struggle with that as well. We are church planting, but we are working in a field that is indoctrinated with so many heresies and false beliefs and things of that nature. So we labor often in just quite a few months and even years to see someone properly understand and believe in the gospel. So we'd ask your prayers in those matters as well. That led us from that church. We came home on furlough again, back when we had, where's Sadie? There she is behind Sarah. The fellow's blocking the football. A guy going to football camp is blocking her view there. But Sadie is right behind him. And when we had her, actually the day before we had her, we received a message from a man there in Praia. And he asked us, he said, do you guys have a Baptist church in the capital city? And we said, no, we primarily for the past few years been working in the interior regions. And this young man had studied in Macau in sub-Saharan Asia there, and had went to Portugal for his studies and met a Baptist missionary there. And that missionary, he asked him, he said, "Have you guys know anybody in Cape Verde?" And he knew the secretary for our ministry, Brother Mark Carpenter, and he said, well, I'll put you in touch with this brother, and Brother Mark put them in touch with us. And as we began to talk, the Lord had already been laying upon our hearts a desire to start a church in the capital as well. And the Lord just sort of confirmed those things, if you will, by some of those ways. And this family, Clovis and his wife, Immaculada, they had recently been saved and were looking for a church. They were attending, I would say it's probably a Southern Baptist church, loosely. But they are going to church there, and some issues of Bible and women preachers and things along those lines, they began to immediately say, well, this doesn't seem to be biblical in its sense. And so they began to seek for a church that believes the Bible. And so they came to us as soon as we got back, and we met, and the Lord allowed us to knit our hearts together in that respect. They came to our church in the interior region for a year. And this was one of those things that to me was extremely amazing. You got to know the Cape Verdean culture. But this family, along with another family, every 3 times a week, they drove out to this church in the interior region and 10 services there for over a year, and did it all themselves financially and even with everything there. I was amazed at their commitment to that. And at the same time, those students had enrolled, these two men had enrolled in our Bible college. And then about a year and a half later, we started together the church in Praia. So your pastor had the opportunity to preach there. So that church is right now, this coming year, will be almost 3 years old. And the Lord has blessed it. It's growing. But what we're always trying to do with every church we start is focusing on training leadership. The Lord does a lot of things through the evangelism and through the soul winning and things of that nature. But often some of that can go by the wayside without proper leadership in the church. And we have always focused in that respect, the training of men and their families to continue the work as the Lord would allow us to even go on and start other works as well. So be in prayer with us about those three churches. And then, of course, a big part of our ministry there, of course, is the Bible College. Since 2009, we've had 23 students go through the school. Some of them have not made it, but most of them have. We've seen some of those students move to Brazil, assisting one of them right now is Bier Nambada. He's a Guinea-Bissau national. He's working with a family in the Ribeirão Preto area of Brazil, starting a church there with another Brazilian missionary. We have a man that is named Ruben Nafunda. He is a national pastor now in Guinea-Bissau with the church there. And then, of course, some of the men that we have trained there locally serving as national pastors now, the churches that we have started. Lord willing, by the end of next year, if everything continues to go as the Lord has led so far, those churches will be turned over to the national leadership there, and we will be more in an assistant capacity, helping those churches in more of a preaching and teaching kind of manner, helping with the Bible college as well. We have another family, Joshua and Jenny Kidd. They're American missionaries that are raising their support. They're about 70% on their support level right now, and they will be arriving, Lord willing, sometime in the spring as well to be assisting us. And so that's another part of our ministry is helping other missionary families get up to speed and become effective there in that place. So there's many things that we are involved in. One of the greater things that our ministry has been able to be involved in through the years is the school system. I shared with you this morning, we had met the Minister of Education, and through the years, where the church was at there in Pedra Badejo in the city on the interior, these names make no sense to you, I understand that, but it does to me completely, okay? So Pedra Badejo is about an hour north of the capital, and where we were starting that first church and the Bible college and things are there. When we first started the ministries there, Pedra Badejo was the second largest city in the whole country. And so we said, well, we're going to come out of the capital and start there because everything was moving that direction economically and even socially. And so the plans were to start the church there. Since then, things have changed a little bit and went towards another city on another island. But Lord knows all about that. But nonetheless, every day we walk past a Christian school of about a public school of about 3,000 kids. And our desire was to go into that school and, give a copy of God's Word to every student. And so we went in that day and sat down with the principal and said, hey, here's what we want to do. Here's where we're from, so to speak. And he said, well, he said, this is not my office. He said, why don't you come to my office in the Capitol next week? And later we found out that he was not just the principal of that school, but he was the minister of education for the whole country. He was just filling in that day for his nephew, which happened to be the principal. And so we were like, okay, well, we'll sit down with you. And we presented that to you. And he said, well, he said, I have no problem with you doing it in that school. He said, but I'm going to put one stipulation on it. He says that if you do it there, you have to do it everywhere. And we're like, okay, well, what do you mean? He says, well, he said, if you're going to do one school, you have to do all the schools. And we're like, okay, well, what, in that city, in that town? He's like, no, he said, I want you to do in the whole country. He said, I'll give you a go pass in every school. And we're like, okay, well, how many kids is that? And he said, well, right now it's a little over 100,000. And so that was the beginning, if you will, to that ministry several years ago. And to date, not including what we'll do this year, 154,000 kids have received a copy of God's Word through that project. So it's been every year, literally 10 to 15,000 kids have been reached with that. As you might have seen on our display, I give an example of what that kit is. It's about 100,000 of those, or about 8 40-foot containers full of those right there. It's about 140,000 of those kits. This year, we'll be distributing about 12 more pallets of those, which is about a half of a 40-foot container. And so there's two islands, the island of Fogo and the island of Brava. They're islands that are due east of us where we're at. It's about about a 3.5-4-hour ferry ride, Pastor Rocky? And so about a 15-minute plane ride if the weather permits. But that's where we'll be headed with a team of about 20 people right now. We'll be working in every school, in primary all the way up to high school and even technical colleges and things like that. And then we'll go to another island, the island of Brava, which is another ferry ride over, and be doing the schools there on that island as well. So we ask for your prayers on those things, the work the Lord has laid out for us here in the month of September and October, which is just about 4 weeks after we get back. So we got a lot to do. The container hopefully will be arriving when we arrive and have to get it out of port and get all those things prepared for the team as they arrive. We got to get back moved into a house, and my wife's got to start school with the kids and all these great and exciting things. And that, of course, I have not mentioned to you, we'll be returning August the 11th, just here in a few weeks. So be in prayer with us about those things. We're ready to go. When we came up here, we packed all of our bags. They're sitting in our back door already. So we got a meeting this week, and then a meeting next week, and a meeting the following week, and then we go back to travel out. So we covet your prayers in those things. Amen. I would ask you to once again visit our table. We have a few things that are more informative about our ministry and the team that we labor with, and what the Lord's allowed us to do through the years. And be in prayer for the islands of Cape Verde. We have a desire to reach them with the gospel, train up men and their families to continue preaching the gospel and lead those churches, and if the Lord continues to bless in those regions for the gospel to spread abroad. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, we're going to read just a few verses. I have a very limited amount of time, and I was apologize for this morning. I got carried away in some ways and went over my allotted time. But at the same time, I appreciate your graciousness in those things. Amen. Amen. I don't ever do it on purpose, but sometimes it does happen. I get confused on time. But nonetheless, Hebrews chapter 11, I want to share a few quick thoughts with you about faith this evening. Of course, we understand and have probably read, studied, and preached through this book many times. It's one of my most favorite books to read, the book of Hebrews. But Hebrews chapter 11 calls our attention to a great need of just being able to trust God. Amen. And do what He has called us to do. And it does take faith. It does take extreme confidence and hope in the Lord to go and do as He has commanded us to do. Nothing can be done in our own might. It has to be done through the Spirit, and the Spirit operates in faith. Amen. The Spirit operates on things that we cannot see, on things that are in the Lord alone, and those are our confidences. But Hebrews chapter 11 is, if you will, a prelude. It is almost like a workup to Hebrews chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter number 13, where the author explains many things that the church has a responsibility to do. And of course, all we know in Hebrews chapter 1 up through Hebrews chapter 10, where he outlines an immense amount of doctrine, primarily that of how the Lord Jesus Christ is superior to every other religion and every other belief, and He is the way. Amen. He is the only way in which we have access to the Father. And now Hebrews 11, 12, and the concluding with chapter 13 is kind of like that, those last roundabout statements that the author gives to his children in the faith and to those that are walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 11 is kind of like is looking back at it saying, hey, here's the guys that have already done it. You know, here's the guys that have already fulfilled these things, and here's how they did that. And of course, the repetitious statement in all of Hebrews chapter 11 is that they did it by faith. Amen. They did it in trusting in God. And of course, we're going to read verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to primarily look at, for just a few minutes, the life of Abraham and what faith allowed him to do. I want to focus more on, if you will, the byproduct of our faith this evening, and how when we are putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're being obedient unto Him, that obedience renders in our hearts and in our lives certain things, as we've seen in the life of these faithful witnesses here this evening in the Hebrews chapter 11. So read with me if you would stand again in reverence to the Word of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. What a testimony to have this evening in your life and in your family, is that you please God. Amen. You won't do that without faith, without living on things that are not seen, but living on things that are of the Word of God. Amen. By faith, or but without faith, verse number 6, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening, and you may be seated. Heavenly Father, we again thank You for Your abundant grace and mercy in our lives. Lord, we thank You for the day that we've had in Your house and for the opportunity to hear Your Word. Lord, I pray once again that You'll be in the midst of everything that we say and do. May it be unto Your honor and unto Your glory. Lord, we pray and ask all these things in Your name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I don't have a lot of time, so we're going to go through this pretty quickly. And all God's people said amen, amen. I heard a preacher not too long ago. He was at home, and his wife had wandered off to Walmart. Amen, you ladies like Walmart. My wife does, especially when we've been overseas for a few years. It's like letting her go, and she just goes in the maze, you know, and then you don't find her for a couple hours, and tomorrow she has to go do the same thing over again, you know. I'm like, how many things can you find at Walmart, you know? Well, this preacher, his wife was off at Walmart. He got to piddling around the house, and he went down in his bedroom and got under the bed for something, and he found this shoebox neatly and tightly tucked away in the corner of the bed frame there, and he pulled it out, and just by sake of curiosity, he opened it up, and in the shoebox were 3 eggs and $2,000. He began to say, what in the world is what's in the shoebox? You know, why is my wife holding out on me with $2,000, first of all, but then why is she collecting chicken eggs underneath our bed? So, of course, as she walked through the door, he began to inquire, and she said, don't worry. She said, every time you preach the bad message, I put an egg in the box. And he said, okay, that's not too bad, you know, all these years of ministry, and just got 3 goose eggs, you know, that's all. And he said, well, every time I got a dozen, I sold them, and that's where the $2,000 came in, you know. So... So I pray this evening isn't a goose egg, amen. If I ever find an egg on a shoebox underneath my wife's bed, I'm not even going to open it, amen. I'm just going to leave it there. What's her business is her business, amen. Nonetheless, I do pray that it's a blessing to you this evening. Obviously, living for the Lord and going where He would have us go requires a amount of faith and I would not say even a great amount of faith, because we know that even faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, can it not? And the Lord doesn't ask us to be often great at what we do. He just asks us to be obedient unto Him, and He does the rest. And this is where, when we examine the life of these faithful men and women here in the book of Hebrews, we see that they just began what God had given them to do. They were not able to attribute to themselves complete success on their own. It was only because they were obedient unto the Lord. I would say that's the same thing for every born-again believer here this evening, is that if we will be just but obedient and faithful unto Him, the rest will work itself out. Amen. The rest will come to pass, and the Lord will receive honor and glory through those things, and we will look back and say, man, look at all the Lord has done. Amen. We don't want to ever look back and say, look at all that we have done. Amen. We want to look back and say, look how the Lord has brought these things to pass and how He has fulfilled these things. And we want to be simply those instruments within His hand. And that's who these men and women were. But by way of introduction, biblical faith, we need to know that it always leads us to the Savior. Amen. In verse number 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. In verse number 28, we read, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroy the firstborn should touch them. And here are some examples, if you will, that biblical faith and Christian faith always leads us to a person. Amen. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't lead us to superior ideas or to, if you will, ideologies of how to do things, but it will always take us to a person into which we have to then deposit our complete confidence and our trust and faith in Him, knowing that He is able to do all of those things. Amen. It begins, I believe, as we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, and then through then it continues to grow as we trust the Lord in other areas of our life. As we read in verse number 6, it is impossible to please God without faith, and those that come to Him must believe that He is, amen, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I'm afraid, though, that there are many a Christian who have gotten stuck right there at that point. They believe that He is, but they do not believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They have, if you will, put everything else on hold in their life. They believe that He is their Savior, but they are not willing to trust Him to do other things through their life, and especially in context of our local church here. There are many things that God would have you do and learn, even as your pastor was speaking here this evening, and if you will, increasing your knowledge of Scripture, increasing your ability to serve Him in a way that is honoring to His name, and that will always be through this book, amen. And those are things that we need to trust the Lord to teach us and to enrich us in. Amen. Faith always learns from the Scripture. Our textbook this evening in the life of faith is the Word of God. We know Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. There are some things that God desires to teach us, and those things will always come and originate from the Word of God. It will always have its bedrock in this book, and its growing and its fruit will always abound here in these precious words of our Heavenly Father. Faith leads us, according to verse 27, it leads us to forsake some things. Amen. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The Word of God shows us that faith allows us to be sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ, primarily and namely in that of forsaking the world and picking up our cross and following Him. Amen. If we are full of faith this evening, then we are absent of sin in our lives. Amen. We are forsaking those things so that we might lay hold of His treasure and of His promises. The Bible says that He endured these things as looking and seeking for those things that are invisible. In context with what the Apostle Paul exhorted the brethren in Colossians, that if ye be in Christ, look on things above. Amen. If you be in Him, then go after Him. Don't be seeking and pursuing the things of this world. These ought to be things that as the children of God this evening are very self-evident and self-declared, but it is a enduring temptation in the world today. Amen. That as we go out and we live our lives, the temptations for us to become committed and entangled with the things of this world, where the Word of God tells us not to be entangled with those things. Amen. Not to put our care and our affection in things of this earth, because it is visible and it is temporal and it is hopeless. Amen. And God says, put it all in me. Amen. And the child of God loves to do those things. Faith leads us to a new standard of living. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I believe that as we look unto God and we believe that His Word is true, we cannot but say, Lord, I'd rather suffer with You than endure the pleasures of this world for a season. Amen. I'd rather go with You than I would have everything else this world offers. And we need some men, we need some women who would be willing to say that this evening and say, Lord, I want to die for You if it be necessary. I want to live for You in a manner that would be glorifying unto Your name. And I wouldn't dare for a minute substitute those things for the cares and pleasures of this world. It is an ongoing temptation, I believe, for every believer. It is an ongoing temptation for us to seek comfort and to seek security, to seek a means for our future. But we have to go forward knowing that the Lord knows, amen, that He is in control. So I want to look just for the next 10 minutes on the life of Abraham. Read with me, if you would, in the verse number 8 of chapter 11. The rest of my application will extend mostly from his life and what he allowed God to do through him. So I'll move through these quickly and you try to stay with me. Amen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, and this is important, not knowing whither he went. Amen. I believe faith allows us to leave on just appointing. I believe that as we come to God and we say, Lord, what would You have us do? Where would You have me go? God doesn't sit down with you for hours on end and give you an example of, hey, you're going to move here and then here's what you're going to do next. And then after that, all these things will be taken care of. And then later on, I want you to move here and do this. And here's how that's going to be taken care of. No, God just says, start. Just go. That's the direction. Just start walking. Amen. It's a lot like leading my children sometimes. Daddy, where are we going? Just follow me. I'm not going to tell you every 2 minutes where we're going to be, but if you'll follow me, you'll be exactly where you need to be. Amen? And how often in our Christian lives we are not following the Lord Jesus Christ and what He would have us do and the direction He would have us take because we want to be control freaks and know exactly all the details. And God says, you're not going to know all the details. Amen. You're going to have to walk in faith and you're going to have to just leave on this pointing and know that this is where I'd have you go and just obey me. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but every time I get in the car with a direction going, I program in that GPS the night before when we travel overseas. I have all the tickets printed out. I know what time the plane boards. I know what time we arrive. I've got transportation arranged on the other side. I've got all the details, and I like to travel that way. It ensures that we are not, you know, left somewhere for goodness sake. But at the same time, I can't adopt those same philosophies in the way that I serve the Lord. Amen. When I serve the Lord, I have to say, Lord, here am I, send me. I don't get to pick. I don't get to choose. You do. Amen. Send me where you want me. This is what faith allows us to do. Faith has always a test to it, and that is what we see in the life of Abraham. As he received these things from the Lord, it says plainly and clearly, it just says this word, that he obeyed. Amen. We say that we have faith, and then we have to be tested in our faith, do we not? We say that we believe in God, and then there comes these moments periodically throughout our week in which we have to say, you know what, it's not just words, but it's action. Amen? It's an obedience that I now have to render unto my Father because I believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen? I know that this is what He wants me to do. I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I am willing and able to trust Him this evening to do exactly as He has commanded. I know that every time the Lord's told me to do something, it very often did not make sense. Within my own might, within my own wisdom, I did not know how and to what extent I was going to be able to do it. But it always required that I just do exactly as He commanded. Faith allows us to leave on just appointing. Secondly, faith allows us to live on just a promise. This is something that faith enables, and it becomes, as we live our lives for the Lord, it becomes more and more dear and precious to us. If you will, read with me in verse number 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And it goes on to say that these men all died never having received the promise. They walked in a land that God had promised to them, even though that one day those things would come about and God would give it to them fully. And we know even still to this day, these things are still in dispute and God's kingdom will come to pass. Amen. And He will fulfill those things that He has promised. But often what we want to do is we think that what God has begun in us is all about us. And this is where we must take our eyes off of ourselves. Amen. We have to say, Lord, You might be doing something in me so that my son continues on in another way and perhaps his grandchildren continue on in another way. But I have to be obedient today in what You have called me to do. Hoping and believing that because of that faith and obedience, You're going to continue to do Your blessed will. Amen. I have to do what You've asked me to do today. I have to live on just a promise, often never seeing, if you will, the fulfillment of those things. I go because of the assurity and the confidences of Scripture that if we would go and preach the gospel unto the nations, the Word of God says that they will come. Amen. That He will save souls. That He will bring about the redemption of many. And often we don't know who that is and where that will be. But yet we go in faith. We go resting assured that if we are just faithful at what God has called us to do, the reward will be His. Amen. The reward will come to pass. And often we get so eager, we get so zealous, we want instant satisfaction on everything that we do for the Lord, and we want this to be happening today, and tomorrow we want to hear the great story of how that just helped everybody. And God says, no, it doesn't work that way. Sometimes you have to teach in children's church for 10 years and never see that child again, but 20 years later find out that those seeds sown brought fruit. Amen. And we just labor faithfully in doing what God has called us to do, living on the promise that if we do as He has commanded, He will bring about the end result. Amen. Faith allows us to learn of His plan. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. We know the account of Genesis says otherwise in a certain extent, does it not? We know that she doubted God. We know that she questioned God. We know that she mocked at God's promise of a son. But yet, God did a work in her heart and life. Amen. God was faithful even still. And even though we might be doubtful at times and skeptical at best, God is still faithful. Amen. God is still working and moving in our midst. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I think that as I have served the Lord, I have learned some things because I am serving the Lord. Some things that if I had not been obedient unto Him, I never would have learned those things. I think that faith not only allows us to do what God has called us to do, but faith furnishes unto us some lessons that otherwise we would never have seen and never have learned. And this is the way God is gracious and kind to His children, especially to those who faithfully follow Him and do as He has commanded. We learn of His plan, and we also learn to love His plan. Amen. We learn to take great hope and confidence in His plan. In verses 14 through 15, the Bible says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." Verse number 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is, in a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." I believe that as we seek after God, it's as if the closer we get to Him, the things of this earth grow strangely dim, do they not? They lose their luster, amen? And that is to say that those into which the world has extreme luster and appeal The only thing evident in that is that you're a little bit away from the Heavenly Father. Amen. You need to get closer to Him and be obedient unto Him and learn to trust Him. Learn to be obedient unto what He has commanded us to do. For sake of time, faith enables us to live a life of power and not a life of perplexities. I believe that as I refer to power here, I refer to a life of direction, of clearness, of preciseness, if you will, and not a life of continual doubt and wonder as to what God would have you do. But as we glean from the Word of God and we learn of His plan and we learn of His promises, we are able to with confidence say, this is what I need to do. And I know this not because I am smart or because I am wise, but because God's Word has said it. Amen. And then I am able to put everything there because it's sure. It's a sure foundation for one to live his life upon. 14 through 16, the Word of God says that they, because they learned these things, they declared plainly, no, we're not from here. We're sojourning. We're looking for somewhere else. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, and we're not putting down roots here because God might want us somewhere else. Amen. God might want us doing something else, and that's our desire. That's our affection this evening, is that we live for Him and for His kingdom's sake. Faith calls upon us to let go of what's precious. In verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. I think that as we learn to trust in the Lord, there comes these seasons into which we obey Him, and then He sends a trial our way. He sends, if you will, a purging our way on some things, and He calls upon us to continually be letting go of what we consider to be inseparable in our lives. Amen? Those things are not easy to do. Amen? But we must do them as Abraham did with his only begotten son, with the son of promise. Those heirs, those promises that God had made, all stipulated upon this boy named Isaac. And here God does the impossible and tells Abraham, I want him on the altar. Now we know, in hindsight, looking back at the Word of God, we can glean the virtue and the knowledge that the Scripture gives us is that God had now tested Abraham to see whether the son was his hope or whether God was his hope. And today, in our day and age, we are continually in a place into which we are having to examine ourselves, whether we put our hope and confidence in gold, whether we put our hope and confidence in America, whether we put our hope and confidence in our jobs, in our wisdom, in our strengths, in our abilities, in our health. And God says, none of that will do. Amen. Only me, I will be your source. I will be your sustainment. I will be your all. And those that live by faith say, I wouldn't have it any other way. Amen? Faith enables us, lastly, and I will conclude, faith enables us to be patient in tribulation and persistent in faithfulness. Chapter 11, verse 36, if you would read with me. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Amen. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, through faith received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then we go into chapter number 12. As I said at the beginning, that 11 is kind of like a big pep talk, if you will, to what's coming next. And then he says in verse number chapter 12, verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, amen? We're not looking to the past anymore. We're not looking to those who have done, but now it's you and I. It's It's this generation in which we now have to decide whether we're going to do as others have done and be faithful and committed to what God has called us to do and to continue on in His mission. He says, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I tell you what an encouragement those verses are to me as I look at the men and women who faithfully served and faithfully fulfilled. And then the author of Hebrews says, listen, look unto these who are now a great cloud of witnesses around you. They have done and are able to do what you too are able to do if you just but trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto Him, endure the affliction, endure the persecution, be patient in what God has called you to do, and through that, He's going to fulfill it. Amen? He's going to bring those things to pass. He's going to allow you to be patient in tribulation and to have a joy that is abounding in suffering and to allow you to be persistent and faithful in what God has called you to do and to be faithful unto His dear name. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Everything that we need this evening in a word would be faith in Christ. Amen? Would be that we just trust Him. That whatever He sends our way, whatever the Holy Spirit does in His wooing and in His convicting of us this evening and every other day, that our response would be, yes, Lord. Just let me be obedient unto that, Lord. And when the afflictions come, let me remember what You have purposed and what You have promised. Let me know that when things are not as I think they ought to be, that things are greater still because it is Your will. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.